Brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete, online at GannAsphalt.com. Missouri side 71 northbound, pretty heavy already from 87th Street up towards 75th Street. It looks like there's a problem before 75th, adding to your usual delays. Looking to transform your business's property, noticing crumbling curbs, uneven sidewalks, parking lot potholes, or faded striping? Gann Asphalt and Concrete makes your project a streamlined process with one contractor, all things parking lot. Gann Asphalt and Concrete, online at GannAsphalt.com. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan Traffic.
Well, we're living here in Brettfeed's town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek
DeAndre
and
Moore.
And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays, we need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeed's town. Living here in Brettfeed's town.
This has got potential, buddy.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty here. Jay Binkley joining us in just a few seconds. I want to get to more negativity. Maybe not negativity. I'm not going to say that. Not negativity. But from the text line, having a good conversation, constructive one. But it said right away from the 816, why the F do you guys not think he can't get 100 yards? I'm sick of y'all expecting less because you're afraid to be wrong. I responded and said, I look for him to have about 5 to 6 targets and anywhere from 40 to 70 yards a game, because that's what this team needs. And that's, what I think he can do. And he could eventually sometime go off for 100. Juju Smith-Schuster did. Yeah, sure he could.
Right.
Followed up text. You both have said you expect 4 to 5 targets for 40 to 50 yards. When has he ever been that? I said this year.
This year.
And then he says, you're killing me, D-man. So it's not a super serious conversation. And then I said, well, last year he played 16 games and he had 100 yards 3 times. He averaged 6 catches for 62 yards last season, for what it's worth. Then, for what it's worth, you guys started this segment several, all caps, times by saying he's going from Kyler to Levis to Mahomes. Must have been a fake opening. I said, yeah, he actually has a chance now to have 6 catches for 60 yards. Now with Mahomes, Levis has only had one good game with him this year.
And you start to look around the league. Ja'Marr Chase has 200-yard games this year, and Justin Jefferson has one. But setting the expectation level, I think, is very important so you don't think the trade is a bust. We were at the Olathe East Tennis Banquet last night, and I just want to give a shout-out to Coach Reynolds, who every student thanked and said was part of their favorite memory of the year, something related to Coach Reynolds. And he had every student come up and give like what their best memory was of the tennis season, and everything and every student said, Coach Reynolds did this, or Coach Reynolds did this, and you start to realize the impact that Coach Reynolds having. And then at one point, Coach Reynolds chokes up last night and says, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm getting emotional. I really like this team, and started praising one of the girls on the team with the highest GPA. The highest GPA on the girls' tennis team at Olathe East is a 4.53 GPA. The reaction that the other tennis players had when they heard that was like, oh my God, all these other students, 4.53. I'm not setting that expectation for my daughter to get a 4.53, because that's unattainable. You set realistic expectations for guys, and when they overachieve and they do better than the expectation, then you feel good. But if you go in with the expectation that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a 100-yard guy every single night and he doesn't do that, then you're going to have a feeling of like, I'm not getting anything out of this. But that's because you had the wrong expectation. Have the expectation that he's going to be a reliable receiver and give us a better opportunity to win a third straight Super Bowl.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football.
College football with Binkley. They're throwing a charm, talking some ball with Binkley.
college football better than his own family. College football with J.B. Got to chawin', wearing them short, track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family.
B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink.
That's right. Jay Binkley joins us now. Shout out to the old number fives.
There you go.
Brock and Watson. They're bringing us in. Binkley,
Watson, yes!
We had a whole show planned today. We had a bunch of questions for you. What is DeAndre Hopkins to... Well, actually, wait a minute. First off, did you hear Bailey Zappe went to the Cleveland Browns?
Yes, I did. But how about this?
Yep.
DeAndre Hopkins has a catch in every single game he's played. It's the longest active streak in the National Football League. It's like at 167 games right now.
Huh, so interesting.
No, it is, but here's the thing, too. He only has one drop this year. He had four drops last year. Before he got to Tennessee, there was a three-year stretch of over 315 targets, and he had three drops. That is a 1% drop rate. What do the Chiefs need? A guy that can catch the football. And I know people are worried about the tear in the MCL and stuff like that. That's a 4 to 6 week recovery time. We're past that at this point. He would be playing if that was going to be effective, but he's a tough guy and he's going to tough it out through the season. They need him through February. Great move, Brett Beach.
Yeah, and it's a great move. You're right. And talking to some folks in the league this morning, Jay, about this move and what it means for the Chiefs. I had one NFL insider person in the league tell me, like, you mentioned the ability to catch the football, right? He doesn't drop the football. One of the things that I received back was excellent hands and trust. And when you can have somebody with great hands that is trusted by his quarterbacks, it makes your job as that quarterback so much easier. I envision the type of player that we saw here in Kansas City with Sammy Watkins, the reliable guy that gets you eight when you need seven, can catch the ball in the red zone, get you a touchdown. Like, that's kind of how I envision DeAndre Hopkins in this mix. How do you see the Chiefs using him?
Yeah, I think that's going to be kind of it, especially over the middle, kind of take over some of that Rashee Rice type of deal. But let's not forget, too, you know, the Chiefs really need him in the postseason. They're going to get to the postseason. And by that time, he'll be acclimated to the offense. He's got 7 1,000-yard seasons. He will pick this offense up right away. I think it was a great move for the Chiefs. And, oh, by the way, expect Justin Ross to be activated this week. Just a little birdie may have told me something.
All right, Justin Ross, a little activity. Him for Raider week as well. Do you still hate the Raiders?
Oh, everybody does. Everybody does.
So it's still a big game for you, or is it kind of fizzled with Cincinnati and Buffalo and some of these other teams?
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of look at the AFC as, you know, a grand scale picture now and think, all right, got to beat the Bengals, take L's. You know, you want the Ravens to take L's. But the Raiders are that historical rivalry. I think some of the back and forth that's gone on from the Chiefs and the Raiders circling the bus around, the way they, you know, acted like they'd won the Super Bowl last year by beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Then, of course, the puppet thing this past deal. There's always a little bit of disdain for the Raiders, to put it that way.
Well, and I will tell you this, it's the perfect time to add DeAndre Hopkins, because I know this has been a circle game, as we've talked about, since the schedule come out, with the Chiefs wanting to go out there and pace the Raiders. And with some injuries, you're thinking, man, they may not be able to do it. But now DeAndre Hopkins gives you a little bit of bounce in your step and the ability to go out there and pace the Raiders like you want to do.
Yeah, no question about it. And who knows how much he can actually help them this week if he'll play. But I'll say this, the key is he will be with this team for the postseason. That's when the season begins, is the postseason. We need him. I remember Brett Veach, you know, talking, you know, back in the day when Sammy Watkins was like, this is why we got him. It wasn't during the regular season. He might miss a game here, that we need him in the postseason. And, you know, MVS was that guy. Didn't do anything during the regular season, but he needs certain guys in the postseason.
Binkley, enjoy my Colorado Buffaloes beating the Cincinnati Bearcats this weekend on the road. So hopefully we can continue that thing going forward.
Man, this team's legit. The way they went down, that defense, the way they played at Arizona, shutting down that offense that they have, and the best, really, arguably the best wide receiver in the country, Ted'Arrell McMillan, and really what they did to Arizona. And that's without Travis Hunter playing most of that game, and Jimmy Horn that left that game as well. What Deion Sanders is doing there, I mean, this is a far different team. Like I've been saying all year, this defense is much different than that defense that was giving up a touchdown every time they went on the field. Much, much different.
Bigley, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football news of today, and we will talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, fellas.